Now, I was told at work to keep my mask on. You know, I told them I was vaccinated, but they said, no, please keep your mask on, Mark. So I don't know what that was all about. But all kidding aside, you know, masks and masquerading is nothing new. And we see it in prophecy and with the false prophet and the beast power and the masquerading and the miracles and the things that will happen in the future. And Joe, thank you for that sermonette. It had a little prophecy in it as well, for sure. But today, why don't we start with turning to 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You know, all scripture, this whole book here, this is the thoughts of God in this book. This is God's mind in here that he's sharing with us. I think that's something that we all need to remember when we're reading this. It reaps benefits for us and it's profitable. It says it's profitable. Don't we all want to make a profit, don't we? Don't we like paydays? I mean, I look forward to payday. And this has some great payoffs, right? It sets us on the right course. It teaches us the right way to go. It can make us a whole person with abilities, with the tools and the strength and the desire to do what's right. There's a lot in that scripture in 2 Timothy. But I'd like to focus on one aspect today, surprisingly, prophecy. What is prophecy and why? What is prophecy and why? Now, 2 Timothy already answered some of those questions. It covers what all scripture is for. It's for correction. It's about instruction and inspiration. It can also equip us for all good works. You know, we're prepared with the word. No excuses unless we don't read it, right? Then tell it to the judge why you didn't read it. Almost 27% of the Bible contains prophecy, and most of it hasn't been completed yet. Not in full. Much of that is because prophecy is dual, and some of it applies to the physical nation of Israel, some of it applies to the church and us individually as well. And also modern day Israel, which is the English speaking nations today. But as Christians, do we need to know prophecy? And do we really know what prophecy is for? The answers here should be yes and yes. You know, our perspective and priority with regards to Bible prophecy, especially as we begin to see some of the prophecy today unveiling before our eyes, it's very important to have that right perspective and our priorities in place. Now, prophecy is meant for God's people to understand, but maybe not in its totality. We'll cover that a little bit more. Sometimes those details that we'd like to know are missing, aren't they? I'm a detailed person. I love to know the details. Even when I'm reading like a novel or something, I want to know those details, and you just don't always get those details. But God does give us enough. He gives us enough information, the information that we need to know. And one excellent example of that is with Jesus Christ. You know, there was a duality in that our Messiah came once to save us from our sins and to be an atonement for all of mankind. And he's coming a second time again to save us from our sins and to save us from totally destroying ourselves. Although mankind was doing a good job, but at a slower pace in ancient times. We can destroy ourselves like that today, can't we? With the weapons of mass destruction that we have. But there was a missing detail. The apostles knew that Christ would return again and usher in his kingdom, and they were looking forward to that. But you know, they thought it was going to happen in their day, but as time went on, they knew that Jesus Christ was not coming back in their day and age. And Christ did that for a reason. He didn't give them the details for a reason. He didn't want them to stop with the diligence that they had and the drive and the energy and the zeal that they had and preaching the gospel. And I'll tell you, it was a tough time to preach the gospel in those days. There was some heavy persecution with the first church and among the apostles. It was a tough job to preach that. Nothing like we've ever experienced. However, we might see some of those things in the future, as prophecy does tell us. It might get tougher to preach the gospel. We might have some persecution as well. But like parables, prophecy was not meant to be understood by everybody. It was meant to be understood by those who God has chosen to open their minds. Those people who haven't been called, they might not turn and repent today. But it's not time for the entire world to understand now. It might not be the best time or the best opportunity for these individuals to have the knowledge and understanding in their lifetimes and to turn their lives around. It might not be that optimal time. You know, God knows the optimal time for each and every one of us. He chose us because this was your optimal time to be called. And it's just not theirs. If it wasn't your optimal opportunity and your time now, you wouldn't be here today. You know, God's the decision maker, and he does know the best time for each and every one of us. You know, we're all equipped to make it, but we need to understand that as it's our optimal time, that the judgment is on us today as well. It's our optimal calling time. It's that time for us, but that means that it's our judgment time as well. And when it's those who aren't called today, when it's their optimal time, judgment will be on them as well. You know, it's mind-boggling that God knows when it's the best time for everyone. He knows every one of us intimately. He knows every little thing about us, every little quirk. He knows everything that we do. So he's the one who chooses that. But he wants to see everybody make it into his kingdom, and that's why he chooses people at that optimal time. He wants to see everyone make it. He doesn't want obstacles in their way where someone isn't going to make it. But we've been equipped, and we have the ability to make it today, and that's why we're here. His goal is to make everyone to be a part of his family. Since we've been called, hopefully we've been chosen as well. You know, we've been given the opportunity now. God knows that we would or could respond, and that decision is ours. We make that decision. We have a lot of work to do as a church and on ourselves, don't we? Each and every one of us knows we have a lot of work to do. But there's going to be a great reward for that. And God has thoroughly equipped us to become a child in his family someday. Because our calling, God wants us to understand the mysteries that he's given and the amazing understanding that he's put in his Bible today. He's given us mysteries to understand. Next, let's turn to Matthew 13, verses 10 through 17. Matthew 13, 10 through 17. The disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more is given, will be given, and to he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you will see, and not perceive. For the hearts of the people have grown dull.'" And man, has that prophecy come true today, hasn't it? The heart of the people have become dull. You know, this describes most of the professing Christians today. Dull of hearing and in actions, compromising and ever accepting of sin, picking and choosing the scripture to fit their own narratives. And there's a lot of narratives out there today, isn't there? A lot of false narratives. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. That's huge, isn't it? We know these things. You know how many ancients wanted to know these things and understand these things? And we've been given that gift today. What a gift God has given us to understand these things. Sometimes I think we take that for granted. You know, we know the future, and the future is that we win. We're winners. This world's losing fast, but they will have an opportunity to win as well. Jesus said that even the prophets of old and the righteous servants did not have these things revealed to them, but it's been revealed to you. God's word and the revelation of prophecies and parables and how to live a productive life, how to live a happy life, have all been revealed to each and every one of us. God's opened that through his word, through his Bible here. It's impossible for them to understand. And only God has that key, and the key that opens the mind. You know, and we just celebrated that, the key that opens our mind. And that's God's Holy Spirit. He gave us his Holy Spirit so that we can understand these things. As long as we're using it, as long as we're reading the book, as long as we're using that power that God's given us, we have to take that time to stop, to read the book. It's good to hear sermons. It's good to read booklets, but you need to read the Bible. We need to be reading what's in this book. The door has been open, and God is that decider. He decided that you were to be here and now, and this is your time in this life. So now that we know these things, or in the process of learning, how are we dealing with the insight that we have and the understanding? How will each of us, I say each of us because it's our own separate walk, isn't it, deal with these things as troubled times unfold before us? And they are. Who knows how much time we have left? Will we be in survival mode? Will we be in self-preservation? How about reactionary? Or even a quitter? How about a winner and a doer? And I think a lot of that depends upon what we're doing now. What are our habits now? I think we want to be that winner. We want to be those doers. Every one of us want that, don't we? We need to be drawing closer to God. You know, we live in a world that's ever-changing, isn't it? And there's some scary things out there. I mean, we see the news. We're starting to lose freedoms in this country. We see a lot of brutality. We see lawlessness. Some of these things might have impacted a lot of our finances. I think with inflation on the rise, all of us are going to be impacted by that. So how are we going to deal with these things as times get a little bit tougher and maybe get a lot more tougher? You know, in reality, some of us may not have expected some of the things, these things that happen in our lifetime. You know, I mean, we knew that things were going to happen, but, you know, maybe, you know, as things have kind of gone on, people who've been here a number of years, and I thought, yeah, you know, maybe things might go on and I might live out my life and not have to see these things. But perhaps we might see some of these things. And they can be a little scary, can't they? You know, I mean, none of us want to see these bad things happen, do we? And we know there's going to be this time of bad things happening. And I think that's normal and it's natural, and we can admit that. I don't want to see bad things happen. I don't think any of you do either to other people. But it's a part of the plan, because mankind will not turn around unless these things happen. It's a part of the plan. You know, it's what's going to take for this world to get the attention. God needs to get their attention. And he wants them to be in his family someday. And some people, that's how hard-headed some people will be. It's going to take the tribulation and things to get people's attention. Hopefully none of ours. And let's pray that it's not. You know, humans, we're stubborn creatures, aren't we? And we get caught in our habits, and it's hard to break those habits, especially if you don't have God's help. I think all of us know that if things start to unfold, we might see some terrible times, and we need to be prepared for that. You know, some of the tests may really prove of, may be a proof of what we're made of. Or better yet, what we've allowed God to make of us, right? That's the positive side of it. It's normal, it's okay to fear the unknown. But it's how we handle those fears. I think we all kind of have a little bit of fear of the unknown. We can't let it overtake us. We can't let it control us. And the fear of the unknown can put some people into a sort of paralysis sometimes. We can't do that. God says that we can't have a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of strength and of power. We can't let the unknown fill us with worries either. And the fact is, we do know the outcome. So we know this outcome. And it's good and it's awesome and it's excellent for this world and for each and every one of us. And we can't look at the here and now. We've been given the gift of hope. That hope is Jesus Christ and what he gave to us and is returning the establishment of his kingdom. And I've observed there's a lot of people in and outside of the church that have become overtaken and obsessed with some of the things that are going on. We can't let that happen to us. You know, we can't be obsessed with what's going on in the world. The world's lost it. All right, we can't lose it. We have to keep our focus. You know, Satan's losing his battle and he knows it and he's going to hit hard and fast. And he hates to see that he's going to be losing his place as the ruler of this world. So he's stirring up a lot of things and he's stirring up confusion. And I just see a lot of confusion in people today. And that's, God is not the author of confusion. That is absolutely Satan the devil. You know, our focus is on an eternal era to come and a better day. And we have the most powerful being on our side, and that's our great and loving God. And he will be there, and he is there for us every day. He's given us each other. You know, that's why we come here together, so we can be each other's strength as well. He's given us the Holy Spirit, but he's also given us each other and the wisdom and the experience that each of us have and we can offer to each other and the love that we can give each other as a congregation. That's why it's so important for us to be together. And I think going through the times that we have, I hope everyone appreciates that we are back together. There could be another day where we can't meet in peace. We need to cherish this and thank God for the blessing of being here together. You know, no time is a good time to draw back or stop growing, especially as we see troubled times going. As they're coming at us, now is the time to really kick it up. Our great and loving God, he'll be there for us all the way. We have to be building that relationship and we have to know each other and love one another as brethren to help support each other. And that takes effort and it takes time. It takes that time that we need to spend together. United we stand, right? We're a family and a community. That's why it's important to assemble. You know, the enemy wants to paralyze us and he wants us to be fearful. And if we're like a little fearful, shivering chihuahua, you know, I mean, I kind of picture that. That's what Satan wants you to be. He wants you to be that little shivering creature, you know, and he wants you to be fearful. He wants you to lose focus and he wants you to stop growing. So let's be aware of his tactics and let's also be aware of what's going on in the world, but don't get consumed by it. We have to have that proper balance and that priority. We do need to know what's going on. We do need to know what's going on in prophecy and see what's happening in the world, but we don't need to get consumed with it as well. I had to shut off the news. I'm keeping it down to a couple days a week now because it does get so depressing. You can catch up on it. You can catch up on it. You have to watch it every day. The world can be very negative. Put more time into reading this. That'll be much more positive. It's a negative world out there, but we have a positive message, don't we? Because we know what's happening in the end for all of humankind. It's a future we need to share with the world through the work today and through the work we'll continue to do into God's kingdom. So our work never ends. It's here today. It's not going to end. I know back in one of the church splits, I heard someone said, the work is done. The work's never over. We always have to do a work, even if it's in you personally. I mean, there's a major work to be done, right? In every aspect, in the church and ourselves and in God's kingdom. It's not gonna end. And the great thing in the kingdom, we're gonna have a lot more energy to do it. So that's gonna be the good part of it. So we are told to watch. And sometimes I think that we miss the real point of watching. So if you please turn to Luke 21. Verse 36, Luke 21, 36. It says, "Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." Back in the day, I think a lot of people used to emphasize escape. That was the big thing, escape. Everybody wanted to escape the things, okay? And that, nothing wrong with that. But there's a couple of other things here that I think we need to focus on. And one of them is pray always. That's the first thing. Pray always. We're supposed to have that conversation and that communication every day with God, our Father, and Jesus Christ. Build that relationship daily. Have that conversation with him every day and throughout the day. And to be accounted worthy to escape. So what does that mean? To be worthy to escape. Well, to be worthy, we need to obey God. We need to obey God. And all these things will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So we'll go through a little bit more of that. We need to watch so that we are prepared. We need to be prepared to make sure our lives are in order, to watch that we're doing the things that God instructs us to do until he returns. And then ultimately, and this is one of the major points here, you can jot this down if you take notes, only Christ ever makes us worthy. Only Jesus Christ makes us worthy. But he does require our obedience, and that's a reflection of our relationship with him and our love for God. So if we are obedient, the more obedient we are, the more it reflects that loving and close relationship we have with God. It's because we're allowing him to live in us and be that power that lives within us. That's what obedience really shows. It's a reflection. The more we love him, the more our actions will show it. So let's pray for each other that we may be worthy, because none of us are really worthy. That's a good prayer for each and every one of us. None of us deserve to stand before Jesus Christ. Only he made that possible. I don't see anywhere that when times change or get tough, to wrap it up, stop functioning. Let's just wrap it up, man. It's all over. We're ready to roll, right? Do it on your own. It doesn't change our marching orders, does it? We're still to be lights to the world, helping and setting a good example to others, helping each other, loving one another, and especially during tough times. That's where it really shows who we really are. When you're under pressure, it shows who you truly are, who your character, what your character really is like. Either way, prophecies are going to be fulfilled no matter what any of us do. God expects us to continue to grow no matter what the situation. As a matter of fact, as they do get difficult, that's when he does expect us to grow even more. Will we draw back or will we cower during tough times? Will we reach out to help others? Excuse me. Or will we be growing a godly character? Let's ask ourselves now today, what kind of person will I prove to be? I always like to ask questions. I always think in my mind, what would I do in a situation? It's always good, I think, to do those things. But ask the question, what will I do? Will I prove myself that I love God in a bad situation? What kind of a person am I today? Will I allow it to change me? And if I do, for the good, that's what we want. Matthew 5, verse 14. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You know, our focus is to be a light and to expose the darkness. That's what light does. It exposes darkness. And as times grow darker, we're going to get brighter and brighter and more noticeable, aren't we? As this world changes and they're proclaiming evil to be good and good to be evil, we're going to be sticking out like sore thumbs. We're going to become more noticeable. But we need to be that committed light to keep shining no matter what kind of pressure is put on us. And we can do that with the love of God in us. We shouldn't be, I kind of like to think of this. I was thinking today as we were coming here about this, is that we want to be a light on a hill. And I was thinking, yeah, we want to be like a floodlight. And I was like, no, we want to be a bonfire. And I'm like, why not a brush fire? That just takes over everything, lights up the whole night sky, doesn't it? But this brush fire doesn't do destruction. It just lights the darkness, right? So another thing in prophecy is, what about those people? And I hope we don't have people here like this, but I do remember in the past. So I do want to bring it up so that these things don't happen in the future. And we do recognize these things that have special knowledge. I'm special. I can interpret prophecy better than the church or maybe the ministry. And, you know, as a child of God, you know, we've been called to understand things. We are special. We every one of us are special to God. And that's amazing in itself, because when we think special, we all think that, oh, you know, I'm the special one. Well, we are to God in that sense, because he can treat every one of us special. And that's what he wants for all of his kids. But you know something that I don't know, perhaps? I'm talking about you personally. Do you have a special knowledge about scripture or something personally that nobody else knows in this room? Turn to Amos 3:7. Amos 3:7. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. Do you notice anything there? That's plural. Doesn't say his servant. It is plural. And it says the prophets. Are any of us a prophet? I'm going to probably go out on a limb here and say no, but at least not yet. We'll see what happens as time goes on. But God says he reveals to his servants, plural. None of us have special knowledge or revelation in and of ourselves. Even at the end, there'll be two witnesses, not one. You know, let's not get caught up in these things. I think, and I'm just saying this as a warning, because I have seen people kind of go off on these tangents from time to time. I don't know of anybody here, but I just felt it's something I should say because I have seen it in the past. I think instead, why don't we focus on the tough stuff? And that's changing ourselves and serving God and his people better. I think that's probably a better focus. The Bible tells us that no person will know when Jesus Christ returns. And I find this kind of mind-boggling, except the Father in heaven. Even the angels and Jesus Christ himself doesn't know the time. Why would any of us know these things? I mean, God the Father has shared, as far as I can see, everything except this one piece of knowledge with Jesus Christ. This is the one thing I know he didn't share with him. I don't know why that is, but it says that. So let's turn to Mark 13, 32 through 37, Mark 13. Chapter 13, 32 through 37. But But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who has left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. So clearly we are to watch. We are to watch. And the warning to make yourself ready, taking heed, is to be alert and to be prepared. So we need to be alert and stay prepared. We can see the evil in the world and be aware that we need to take actions and be prepared ourselves for the wedding supper that's coming. You know, prayer is one of the building blocks for that close relationship with God, going before him in conversation and to praise him. There's different things we do in prayer. We praise him. We show him thanks. Come with our repentant attitude and asking him for our needs and for the needs of others as well. So keeping proper balance and perspective are important keys for us to continue to grow through tough times. And actually, that's in all times. Our directive is to continue to change and grow even as prophecy unfolds before us. You know, the walk is about a change of heart. The emphasis in the Bible is to be a light. And we're getting that balance of the word here. We're getting a healthy balance of God's word. We get enough prophecy. We get enough Christian living. And we get our meat in due season, don't we? I think we've had an excellent balance in this congregation and the United Church of God as well. So they say emotions weren't meant to live by, but we're meant to enhance life. And the same can be said about prophecy. It's not meant to live by in the sense that we're all consumed by it. But prophecy should enhance by giving us a hope and leading us to a greater faith and confidence in God. It should make us fearful. It proves us the things of God. And he says who he is. It proves who he is, says he is. It's proof positive. It should lead us to a greater conviction that God's and most certainly is in control and he has a plan and he's working it out as he promised. So should prophecy be viewed as a warning to save us from terrible things to come? The Bible does give us a lot of warnings, doesn't it? But if we don't turn and repent to God, he does say that he will punish his people. And we see that throughout the Old Testament and the prophets of Israel. And the prophecy, again, like I said, can be dual. It can apply to Israel, the church, and each and every one of us. And these warnings can be healthy if they move us to action. But we can't just be motivated by fear. Fear is not a good motivator. It's only temporary. It's not long-term. But the love of God is. So if we're building that love for our Creator and our Father, that will draw us closer, build that stronger relationship with him, and not just to avoid punishment. And that's what God wants. He wants that relationship. That's what he's desiring. He wants a close and intimate relationship with each and every one of you. Talk to God. Listen to him through his Bible and through sermons. And tune into the Holy Spirit as it urges you to do the right things. Use it. You know, just avoiding punishment is not a proper balance. You know, put the love of God first. Build that relationship, that intimate relationship with him. There is proof in prophecy. God uses prophecy for proof. It's proof that he is who he says he is, and it's that evidence. And Jesus Christ gave his disciples and for us today the prophecy that he is who he says he is. In Matthew 38, starting in Let's see, starting in verse, I'm sorry, let me see here. That's Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Let's see. All right, well, it's talking about, not finding the chapter right now. So it's talking about being in the grave 3 days and 3 nights as Jonah was in the belly of the whale or in the great fish. So that was his proof to his disciples that he would be resurrected after 3 days and three nights. He is our Messiah. He gave us proof positive that that is who he said he is. So he arose after 3 days and three nights. Then he appeared to the disciples afterwards. So he came back and was resurrected, and he walked among them, and he taught them again. They saw him again. He is great, and he's fully in charge. And despite what any humans are doing on earth, he will fulfill his plan. He plans to return and save us yet again from ourselves, physically and spiritually. So Peter, interestingly enough, tells us what prophecy is not. So turn to 2 Peter 1, starting in verse 16. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, Peter explains here what he and other apostles witnessed when they heard the voice of God the Father on the holy mountain with Jesus Christ. This prophetic word is proven. It's confirmed, and they witness these things by his holy majesty, Jesus Christ. Now, Peter encouraged us to heed the prophetic word in verse 19. So prophecy is truly a warning. It's a warning for us to straighten up. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will return someday, and we want to be right with him before the day comes and he returns, whenever that day is. So prophecy is not for individual interpretation. There's a lot of false interpretations out there and a lot of false prophets. All you have to do is go out on the internet. Go on YouTube. You'll see hundreds of false prophets out there. I can't believe some of the crazy things people think and say out there in their interpretation of Scripture. You know, some people may tell you that Christ is here and he's there in this house or that place. But let the Bible and God's Holy Spirit interpret and reveal those things to us. Matthew 24, 23 through 28. Matthew 24, 23 through 28. Thank you. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. You know, we need to be aware of some of these people. Some of them might look real good from time to time. In fact, so good that it says that even the elect could be deceived. Verse 25, look, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. You know, it describes here some of the personal and private interpretations that Peter warned us about. Understanding God's word, including his prophecies, don't come by the will of man, but it comes through God and through his Holy Spirit revealing things in us. You know, prophecy is so that the elect can know and understand and do and not to be deceived. For reading our Bibles and getting to know God better, we're not going to be deceived. As we're building that relationship, we can't be deceived. As long as we're staying close to God and we're building that relationship. Zechariah 14:1. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravaged. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem in the east, on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move towards the north and half towards the south. You know, I've had conversations with people outside of God's church about this scripture, and they were asking me, well, how do you know, Christ, what are the signs of Christ's return? So we go there and we've talked about it. We've had the conversation several times. And the person who came to me again the next time said, so how do we know when Christ returns? They just don't seem to be able to retain this knowledge. And to me, that's God, if he's not calling someone, they are not going to know these things. They just don't seem to be able to retain them or understand them. And that person that I'm thinking of has actually come to me probably at least four times and mentioned that. And I was kind of taken back by that. So brethren, you know, prophecy is for you. It's for those who God is opening their minds. People can read it and they'll never understand it. It'll just confuse a lot of people. But that doesn't mean that they won't understand parts of the Bible and the value of it in the future. They might read it, and they even might retain it and not understand it. But you've been given the ability to read it, retain it, and understand it. You know, in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, it says to the churches, to he who has an ear, let him hear in the churches. We can hear and understand these things. You know, knowing these things don't make us better. Just gives us more responsibility. That's what you wanted, more responsibility, right? Our lives are busy. But these are the good responsibilities. These are responsibilities that we need to step up to. If we believe and know something, we have a responsibility to act on it, especially when it comes from God. It should humble us that we know these things, and should motivate us and not puff us up that we have some kind of special knowledge. You know, the gospel given to the churches should give us that tremendous desire to want to share it with others. So we share these things with other people in the world, either through the preaching of the gospel, through United, or by our own examples. Both are preaching the gospel. So we have some good news to give the people in the world, and this is something that they might remember after they go through some really tough times. That might be some piece of knowledge that we are giving to them as they might get our booklets and as they might understand that God is going to have a kingdom for them someday and that they're going to have that opportunity to become a part of that. So we need to be able to tell them about what's coming and why it's coming. You know, there'll be some great sufferings and some penalties, some great penalties for the sins of this world in the end time. There'll be some great atrocities to pay for, and God is a God of justice. So there are going to be some things happening that won't be so nice in this world. But it's also to tell them about the awesome kingdom to come. And again, like I said, a lot of people will hear it. It'll fall in their ears. They might remember it, but they won't truly understand it or possibly even believe it. So next, let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 6 and 7. Ezekiel 33, verses 6 and 7. But if the watchmen see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. You know, prophecy sets forth our work instructions. And we've been given instructions to be a watchman and to warn the world. We're to warn modern day Israel and the nations of the world about what's to happen. You know, we're told to pray for more laborers. I think that's really important. I believe that we need to pray more for that because times are going to get tougher. We're going to need more laborers in the work. And I do believe we can have a large, and not that we go by numbers, but I would like to see more people. Wouldn't you not have to go through some of these things? I would like to see more people brought into the faith. But no matter what, it's God's will. But he does tell us to pray for more laborers. That's Matthew 9, 37 through 38. More first fruits. That means growth. We should like that growth. So as the first fruits called by God, you know, we have an extra special blessing in Deuteronomy 21, 17. You don't have to turn there, but it talks about that the right of the firstborn, that extra special blessing, that double portion that God's going to give to those who endure these things, who take on this challenge today. You know, our walk's going to be a little bit different than anybody in the future because we've had to go through all this, and I've said this before, I think we have a lot more challenges in the world that we live in today with having Satan, the devil, and the world and having those things. But God still does equip his people. They will not have Satan, the devil, to have to deal with. And we will tell them, don't turn to the left or the right. Stay on the straight and narrow. We'll be able to help them. They'll have that assistance. But that's why God wants to give us that double portion as his firstborn. You know, and he has those expectations for us as the firstborn. And I know my brother was the oldest, and you know, my parents would give him the ability. They would say, you have to watch the rest of the kids. So that was his responsibility to steer us in the right way, although he didn't always steer us in the right way. But it was his responsibility, and that's kind of the same with us. God will give us more because we have a lot more responsibility. So he wants to reward each and every one of us for that. And the church today is Israel. And we are going to be that firstborn, the first fruits in his family. Not only do we have the blessings of obeying him now, but we'll also have them in the future. So we have benefits today, and we should never forget those benefits. I know what a life I could have led, and I started down a path as a teenager, and I'm telling you, I know what I could be like. Only took a couple years to see, and I didn't like it so much. And I just said, I need to make some changes. I turned 18, and it's kind of like a, you know, hit me in the head with a sledgehammer, but I just said, I need to make some changes in my life. And I've been in this church for a long time, and I've heard a lot of things that I know will make my life happy and will steer me on the right way. And I see the results of it in some really good people's lives that really set some good examples for me in God's church. And I am very thankful for that, including my mother and my stepfather. So in closing, you know, there are many prophecies yet to be fulfilled. A lot of these things that if we live long enough that we'll see. I mean, think about it. The battle of Armageddon, the Antichrist, the beast power, the signs of the end times, the end time church, and even a great falling away. The tribulation, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the second coming of Jesus Christ. The kingdom to be established on the earth. The valley of dry bones. No more pains. No more sorrows. No more death. And the gift of eternal life for those who choose well.